Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today says that the stimulus package being crafted by President-elect Barack Obama and Congress could provide, quote, a significant boost to the sinking economy. But Bernanke warned that such a recovery will not last unless other steps are taken to stabilize the shaky financial system. Bernanke says, quote, fiscal actions are unlikely to promote a lasting recovery unless they are accompanied by strong measures to further stabilize and strengthen the financial system. Bernanke did not weigh in on the details of the evolving stimulus package being discussed in Congress. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 84.91, up 17.75 points. The NASDAQ at 15.54 is up almost 16, while the S&P 500 is at 8.72, and it's up 2.5 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars January 14th in Valparaiso, Indiana, January 17th in West Lafayette, Indiana, January 19th in Mount Carmel, Illinois, January 20th in Hoopston, Illinois, January 21st in Rensselaer, Indiana, and January 22nd in Lima, Ohio.
Joining us now with a look at the day's agricultural weather is AM 580's Mike Sulla. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. First off, we're going to talk a little bit about the cold weather across the U.S. Midwest. Not a major wheat-growing area, but some locations across the Midwest could see some winter kill because of this morning's extremely cold temperatures, and more to come this week. I was looking at some of the record temperatures from across Minnesota and the Northland this morning. I'm not sure what pronunciation. Is it Embera or Embarrass, Minnesota? Either way, they are blue with 44 below for the low this morning. International Falls did drop down to 40 below, 42 at Babbitt, Minnesota for overnight low temperatures, and lows well below the 25 below threshold all across north central Minnesota and into northwestern Wisconsin this morning. And the cold temperatures expected this week, again, not likely to do much damage, if any, to the winter wheat. Most locations that see temperatures near and well below zero will have adequate snow cover to provide protection from the cold. The region from eastern Kansas into western Missouri will have little or no snow cover and could be vulnerable to some winter kill. But again, temperatures there will be only marginally cold enough for some damage. Snow did fall across parts of the Dakotas and eastern Nebraska into Iowa, into southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Amounts between 1 and 5 inches, some local amounts up to 7 inches. And high temperatures were in negative single digits across eastern North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota, with highs in the single digits above to the teens from South Dakota through Minnesota and Wisconsin. Again, bitter cold temperatures were felt across the northwestern Corn Belt this morning, lows dropping to 20 to 30 below Fahrenheit in eastern North Dakota and northern Minnesota, with the cold air not expected to really leave the area until the weekend. So again, not only a threat to some minor wheat areas, but also putting some stress on some livestock across that region. Now to Argentina and Brazil. First off, in Argentina, rain fell most significantly from northern Cordoba into Chaco yesterday. 1 to 2 inch amounts common, with local amounts up to 3 inches in the cotton areas of eastern Chaco, with northwestern Corrientes and eastern Formosa also picking up some heavier precipitation. Lighter rain fell to the southeast in the region, with just a few hundredths of an inch to a half inch reported through midnight this morning from central Santa Fe into western Entre Rios and southeastern Corrientes. Argentina is back to a drier biased forecast according to the computer models. Today, restricted rainfall is expected through Friday morning. A cold front is expected to move through Friday night through Saturday, and that will attempt to produce some precipitation with coverage as much as 60% of the crop country, and weekend rain amounts will range from anywhere just over a half inch to local amounts of an inch to 2 inches possible from Buenos Aires into Cordoba. For Brazil, it looks like the forecast is quite similar to that of what we had yesterday. Most of the nation will get rain at one time or another. Precipitation will be greatest and most significant from Paraguay into Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná into southern Minas Gerais and Sao Paulo. The least rain will occur in the far northeastern portion of Brazil and in the Rio Grande do Sul, although several strong thunderstorms will be possible in the Rio Grande today. All summer crop areas of Brazil have sufficient moisture to sustain normal growth and development through the next two-week period. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
In the overnight session from Monday night, prices looked like this. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 5.93 and a half, down 1 and a half. Last trade was down 2. May, 6.05, down 1 and a quarter. Last trade down 1 and a quarter. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 5.67, down 2 and three quarters. Last trade down 2 and three quarters. May, 5.82, down a half. Last trade down 2 and a half. July, 5.93 and three quarters, down a quarter. Last trade down 2 and a half. December, 6.33 and three quarters, up a quarter. Last trade down 1 and a half. March corn opened at 373, down 7 and three quarters. Last trade down 7 and a half. May, 384, down 7 and a quarter. Last trade down 7 and a quarter. July, 390 and a half, down 11. Last trade down 7 and a quarter. December, 418 and a half, down 5 and three quarters. Last trade down 6 and three quarters. January beans open at 9.61 and a half, up 7 and a half. Last trade up 16. March, 9.60 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. Last trade up 3 and three quarters. July, 9.81 and three quarters, down 4 and a half. Last trade up 2 and a half. March soybean meal opened at 293, down 150. Last trade up 120. March soybean oil opened at 34.25, down 16. Last trade unchanged. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. And I'll make that Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. You got
yeah,
me.
I don't want to mistake you and Wayne. Wayne coming up, of course,
well, he's
next
the younger
hour.
Guy.
Yeah, he's the younger guy.
Yeah.
Overnight, we saw a little bit of a pop in the January delivery month, and we also noted that China, noting that prices took a significant drop yesterday, made a pretty significant buy of beans at 399,000 metric tons. So demand in the bean market still remains pretty good, although the PRC seems to be the major player.
Right. China is pretty much it, and they did make more buys, and it did help in the overnight. At one time, we had overnight, depending on where you're at, up 10 to 18. We backed off, except in the January, which is very slim, to 2 to 5 higher. And that's what we're looking for today. Looking for, the problems of are we going to have more acres or not right now with the weather coming in. Will that help push it up due to more feed meal usage? And I think generally after the big break, we could see it bounce back and forth and consolidate some.
We sure would like to see some export sales reports released from USDA from private exporters of corn with the prices off their highs on the board and threatening some support levels on the downside. We're still not seeing anybody come into this export market.
No, we are not, and there's plenty of corn in the world. That's part of it. And our exports are, what, half of what they were a year ago. So, I mean, usage on corn is questionable. We still have a big air pocket underneath the corn where we could go back and attempt those lows. There's people talking in the 350 to 65 area as a retracement level. And if we got to there, we might see some new buys around the world.
And that would mean on D's corn would come in, if it was so at 62, what, 396?
Right, somewhere
in
that area.
Yeah.
Big thing also is the dollar on corn. You know, the volume of corn in bushels. The dollar up another 100 points today. That also hurts it.
Well, we also noted that what was going on yesterday is those optimistic longs were getting out of the marketplace.
Right, they were, and trend following funds actually are net short corn and got shorter a little bit. The index funds are still long a nice amount, but they're gradually getting out of a few of those. They're still well over 100,000 longs that they've had on for almost a year.
So what about the calls today?
Calls today are beans up 2 to 5, corn down 5 to 7, and wheat down 2 to 4. I think we're just in a consolidation here today.
And over at the CME on the livestock side, what are you seeing?
We're looking at mixed, but the cold air coming could help push things a little higher here.
Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
Just that after the big break, we're looking maybe at a new area of back and forth. We're really not looking for new lows right now. There are people saying we will test them between now and the 1st of March, but I don't expect them right away.
Does the numbers that you see, we got about 20 seconds, mean that the psychology of the traders will be to sell rallies to $4?
I think so. They'll sell the $4 corn, and if beans get back over the 10, they'll probably sell those.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Pete Manhart. He is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.